And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So we got the laugh, love, live mirrors here. We got live, love, laugh. We go in the bathroom here. We got live, laugh, love. We come out here to the rug. We got live, laugh, love. We go over here. We got live, laugh, love. We come over here. We got life, live, love, laugh. Live, laugh, love. Live, laugh, love. Laugh, love, live, laugh, love, live. We got live, laugh, love. We got laugh, love. Live! That's it! Holy shit! No, we got live, laugh, love!
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Thursday, March 24th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, here in the Classic Factory, Tass Mellis.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Ribbon M. Liz, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. The International Man of Mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis. And finally, making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second. Like the video. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Comment away. Share the show. Keep sending in your questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet at us at nodunksinc. That's I-N-C on the N. And we got a fun No Buffs episode coming up later tonight. Later start time around 7 p.m. Eastern because we have a guest. We got Rick Devins from Survivor. Edge of Extinction. Yeah, it looks like Lee a little bit. Yeah, no, Rick.
Wow, it does, I haven't watched actually. It.
Rick's going to join us on tonight's No Buffs episode to recap last night's what I thought was an epic episode of Survivor. At least very interesting, very different. So we'll break that down tonight. No Buffs, own YouTube feed, own podcast feed. So make sure you join us live if you want to around 7 p.m. Eastern with Rick Devins. Can't wait. Okay. We just got to get right into the basketball because there's a lot to talk about with 11 games on last night. But first, we had a wedgie.
Oh.
Yeah, we had a wedgie. And Brian Scalabrine on the call because it happened in Boston. And he had some interesting comments about it. Let's have a listen.
Pritchard there defensively. Clarkson puts it up. Pritchard, good job. And jump on.
Can I go on a rant real quick, Mike?
Yeah.
Why don't we play that live? Why don't I understand? Here's the defense.
Yeah.
Like, it's clearly a break. Why can't we just go up there and grab it and keep going?
Punch it out? Yeah, why not?
Interesting. Tass, what do you think? That was wedgie number 32, by the way. So that's very good. Hadn't had one in a while. But yeah, Scal just says, play on. Let's jump up. Pop it out. Let's go. What do you think?
Innovative by Scal. We've probably had, I don't know, 400 wedgies since we started tracking in 2014. Never heard that once. Does it lead to some problems, I guess, is the question. No, I guess it could. What happens to the shot clock?
Well, yeah, the biggest problem is we don't take a second to admire the beauty of the wedgie.
Right,
man, right.
Big problem.
Yeah.
Did you see the Celtics bench there? They were applauding the wedgie, not the defense. They were saying, good wedgie, Jordan. Well done.
Deep.
Yeah.
Can I take a second go on a rant right now? I just like that line. Yeah. I just like that line.
I mean, I thought the rant he might go on, it is a little weird when you think about it. It's a brick shot. It's a brutal miss. Though we love it, of course. It's wedgie. But then we have a jump ball. And, like, you have the ability to gain the ball back into your possession. Mm. That's a little strange.
That's a good point. Maybe it should be an instant turnover or the ball going out of bounds or just play it. I kind of like that idea. Very dangerous, it seems like, to have, like, a bunch of guys jumping up there. You know, the ball's obviously wedged in. You're jumping up with your fragile fingers. Mm. Everybody's going for the same spot. Potential for some injuries, but that would be exciting as well.
Okay, what about a little middle ground? Because I do want to appreciate the wedgie. Of course we do, because we track them. There's like a timer. It like it wedges, and then there's like, I don't know, 10 to 20 second like countdown where then they can figure out like how they're going to attack it. They can start holding each other.
Not that long. 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
Boom. 5, 4, 3. If it's not live ball, then we jump it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or it's 4 points.
4 points. Oh, okay.
Extra points.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. If you can't get it out, if your team gets the wedgie, the defender has 5 or 10 seconds to get it out. And if you can't get it out, that's 4 points.
All right. That's not a bad idea.
Jesus. Brainstorming. Hashtag hoop idea right here on a Thursday.
People may be going for wedgies in that instance.
Well,
and that would be
great for us.
Yeah. Awesome.
And they're getting a little box out. You're not going to go get that ball.
Yeah. Jazz could have used the 4 points last night getting hammered there by Boston. We'll get to that game. But wedgie number 32. Interesting thought there from Scalabrini. Let's hear from you guys in the stream team in the comments below what you think about his decision just to play on, punch it out, as Gorman says there. He likes it. Okay. We're going to tackle a lot of these games last night with a little What You Got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
Yeah, What You Got? First one. Tempers flared on the Miami Heat bench last night. Second half, you know, Golden State, they ripped off this 19-0 run. And then during a timeout, we had Jimmy Butler getting into it with Spoelstra. They had things to say. Suddenly Haslam and Butler are exchanging words. You know, everybody seems to want to fight everybody. It's quite a scene. You don't see, obviously, all that often from teammates. So the What You Got question, Lee, is, you know, this Butler, Haslam, Spo, I guess you want to chuck him in there, sort of spat. Is it very concerning or is it nothing at all to you? What you got?
I'm going to say a little bit of both, more very concerning than nothing. Because, look, the Miami Heat, one of the most stable franchises in the NBA, have been for a long time. It's been Mickey Arison and Pat Riley, Andy Ellisberg, Nick Arison, Eric Spoelstra. Throw Tim Reynolds in there as well. He's part of that. No, he's not, of course. But, you know.
What about Ira?
Ira, yeah. They very, very rarely have any sort of internal chaos. They like to deal with things. Anything that comes up, it's handled usually very, very well behind closed doors. But the reason this one I'm a little bit more in the very concerned is because I have never seen Eric Spoelstra that pissed for that long where he's being held back by his own players there. He threw down the clipboard as well. Like, you never see. The only thing I've ever seen from Eric Spoelstra in the past was that LeBron incident that was blown out of proportion in LeBron's first season. Remember the sort of the shoulder bump, which was nothing. Eric Spoelstra is never losing his cool like this. And so, to me, something was building behind the scenes to get to this point, and it kept going and going and going. Udonis Haslam in there, he's stepping in there. He wanted to fight everyone, but that's kind of his thing on this team. We've seen him.
He's like, there's a fight?
He's a bit of a junkyard dog there. But look at this from Eric Spoelstra. That is just absolutely never seen before from him, that he was getting into it with Jimmy. And this is also why I lean into the very concerning category. Jimmy Butler, his reputation as a malcontent really grew last night. He left Chicago under shady circumstances. Minnesota, he hated everyone. He wanted to fight the front office, his teammates, the coach. He barely lasted 5 minutes in Philadelphia before the same sort of thing where he's like, no, it's my team. I'm the best. I don't like Brett Brown. I'm out of here. And he goes to Miami. So he's now been there. They just signed him last season too, to a massive extension. Jimmy Butler, though, he's bringing almost the real Jimmy Butler experience here to Miami, which could derail what has so far been an outstanding season. They still hold that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. It's a little shaky right now, and certainly they could lose it. They're still a very good team. I expect that they will continue to sort of handle this in-house. Eric Spoelstra was very calm afterwards, by the way, his post-game. I like the way that he spoke. Tried to throw a little joke in there about, we were just trying to figure out where we're going for dinner. But I do think that something like this could become a bigger factor as well later and down the road. They lost to a team they shouldn't have lost to last night. Jordan Poole went crazy. Some of the shots he was hitting last night in that third quarter, which really took them out. They scored 19 points to start that third quarter. That's where it erupted. They're like, how can we stop this guy shooting Dirk one-leggers off the backboard? He was crazy. But if the Heat get into a situation where they're, again, pressurized in the playoffs, what are we going to see from Jimmy Butler? His reputation says he might almost like implode a little bit there. So this is bad for Miami, I think.
You really believe that?
No. I think it's fine.
Because I don't. I disagree with you too. But
I think it's fine. I think the Heat are showing that Jimmy Butler is not bigger than the system. Yes. I think Jimmy likes that. I think Jimmy appreciates that. And I think it's like right in the moment they're trying to control it. And that means I don't that when do you get in a fight and you just talk it out? I mean, they talked like for 45 seconds. I would run away and be frustrated and be angry and not want to deal with it. I think the fact that they dealt with it right there in that moment is a good sign for them. And Spoelstra is showing, is telling everybody on the bench, not even our superstar can get away with talking trash to me, is what it, how it initially started. Udonis Haslam had his back right then and right there. And for Spoelstra, what happened was Jimmy said something to Spoelstra. Spoelstra was shocked, taken aback. Me? You're coming at me? And Haslam came in. The only words I could really read lips were, show them. Show them. Like, show the other team. And then he said, I want to fight you. I want to fight you. I want to fight you. I want to fight you.
Haslam's just Jimmy as Butler. Much of a coach at this point.
He's like, I think it's Jimmy versus the coaching staff.
Yeah,
and Jimmy didn't play defense on that Jordan Poole one-legger where he allowed him to get his freedom to take that shot off. And, the Heat were trying to control it. So I don't mind it at all. I think they get the one seed right here, right now. I think they're not losing this one seed now because Jimmy loves this. I think Jimmy loves this internal combustion. It is the full Jimmy experience, totally. I get that. And sometimes it's not good, but I think Jimmy lives for this. Jimmy wanted somebody to come back at him, and it happened. And I think this is good Heat culture, I think.
The last two times it has happened, though, Jimmy's gotten out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So
but I think Tass is saying maybe different in the last two times is no one steps to Jimmy and says, get in line.
Yeah,
no,
fair
that's not
point.
The way we do this. Yeah. This is what we do here in Miami, and I sort of agree with Tass.
That is a fair point, and we will see how it plays out. But I just sort of feel that sometimes Jimmy can let this fester and get bigger. And so now the challenge is going to be to see how they do respond because they actually responded on the court well at the start, but then ended up losing by double digits as well. So it's a weird situation.
Yeah, Spo after the game, he made the joke about dinner plans. Then he said it was pretty clear. We have a very competitive, gnarly group.
Gnarly group.
And we were
guys.
Getting our asses kicked, and it's two straight games. We're not playing to the level we want to play. I'd say virtually every single person in that huddle was pretty animated about our disappointment in how we were playing. Lowry talked about it after the game. PJ Tucker talked about it after the game. Bam talked about it after the game. And for the most part, they were all just saying, yeah, this happens in practice.
We fight each other all the time.
Yeah, it doesn't happen usually in a game, but there it was, and it's okay. It's not a big deal. But, we'll see. But what do you think, Trey?
I don't think it's a big deal. Jimmy was just upset that he was losing the third stringers. That's like the biggest insult that could possibly happen to Jimmy Butler. So we saw them try to fight the Nuggets as a team earlier this season after the Jokic-Morris incident. It was just a matter of time before they turned on each other and started trying to fight each other. There's that great, reverse angle of somebody in the crowd, and you can see Spoelstra, he's like, what?
Yeah.
You want to fucking fight me? It's seriously? I'm the coach here. I'm like 20 years older than you are. Why are we fighting? To me, it was just exactly what they're saying. There's a lot of competitive guys, a lot of guys who like to act like they're going to fight each other at some point despite never really getting in fights. Udonis Haslam would get in a fight.
Hell yeah.
He's the only guy I think would actually get in a fight on that team. And Morris, of course. But he actually played it pretty cool in this one, All things considered.
Bit of a peacemaker, actually.
But the Heat have now lost two straight games. They should not have lost this game with the Warriors playing with none of their stars. Mm-hmm. So they're just mad. I think they hit a rough patch in the schedule right here, and they're actually not playing very well. So certainly they're heated coming into the playoffs. I don't think it'll be a big deal. We saw Eric Spoelstra and Dwayne Wade get in a fight during the 2012 season. That one ended okay with Miami as well.
Yeah, this could be the best thing that happens to the Heat. Yeah. This little spark plug, and you know, it depends how Jimmy takes it all overall. Yeah. But I think I agree with these guys. I think he actually loves this. I think he loves the idea of his coach actually stepping to him and sort of challenging him back to
Edwards. Yeah, I think that was the case with Brett Brown in Philadelphia, certainly, that he didn't really push back, and no, it did. But Tibbs, I mean, in Minnesota, that was his boy. And he wanted out of there from then.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that had to do with the other players, though.
It did, but, you know, at the same time, you know, Thibs was supposed to be the one who was going to get the most out of him.
Jimmy's always something like, I need guys, like, to go to war with, you know, like dogs and stuff like that. Well, that's these guys. These guys are just bigger. They're barking back at him and put him in place. Yeah. So.
He's also been trying to get to Miami since he was on the Chicago Bulls, which is why he ended up leaving the Bulls. I mean, they traded him. Still a stupid move. He had wanted to get to the Heat, so he had to leave the Timberwolves, and then he wanted to get to the Heat, so he had to leave the 76ers. Now he's got this big deal here. He is on the Heat. I don't think this is going to be a problem at all.
It was a crazy incident there, though. We can talk a little bit about the Warriors and Jordan Poole especially, but like, do we need to send the Miami Heat our new t-shirts are coming next week, guys? Tuesday, go to nodunks.com. We got Temper Boy shirts coming. I think they could all be rocking a Temper Boy shirt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
Do it in those in the letters, like their jerseys, you know, where they've got like a all different letters from...
Oh, you want a whole new design?
Yeah,
jeez, we haven't even launched these shirts yet.
Yeah, but why not? Make one specially designed for them. They might rock. Imagine Kyle Lowry turning up to a game wearing one of those.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry was the one guy who left the huddle. First, he signaled for a timeout while they're yelling at each other. Funny. He said, timeout, then he left. He was the one guy that didn't want to deal with... Didn't want to be a Temper Boy. That reminded me of when he was on our show. He was talking about being a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and we asked him if he played football as a kid. Seemed like a football player, right? And he said, "Nah, it's too physical for me." And then when he left that huddle, I'm like, "Oh yeah, he likes physicality, but doesn't love it as much as UD and Eric Spoelstra, who looks in great shape, by the way." You said he's like 20 years older than Jimmy Butler. I had to check because you know when he was pointing at his chest and I saw those pectorals coming out, I thought, "Man, this guy looks fit." But he is 51. Haslam's 41. He could partake. He would be in the ring if they were all bad.
Yeah,
but
isn't WrestleMania right around the corner here?
It's like a two-day event.
Yeah,
at WrestleMania.
Been doing that for a couple times.
I can't believe it every time that comes up.
Yeah.
Anyways, the Warriors responded really well to Draymond Green calling them out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Draymond Green said, "We are frickin' soft. We just lost to the worst team in the league." One of the worst teams, I guess, in the Orlando Magic. Mm-hmm. He doesn't play. Klay doesn't play. Steph doesn't play. And they beat the Miami Heat with great bench production. It's sort of a role reversal. We think the Heat are 10 deep. They didn't get a lot from their bench in this one. No Tyler Hero, obviously, but Victor Oladipo wasn't great. Either was Max Strus. And then you got great contributions from a guy like Damian Lee, who I think could be the fifth of their death lineup, along with their big three in Wiggins. He could be the fifth guy hitting shots. He had 22 off the bench, 9 free throws. Great attitude there. And Wiggins finally had a good game.
Yeah, he did. He did, for sure.
Aggressive, he was.
And Jordan Poole, I tweeted this morning. He's not going to win it. But when we started the season, do you remember like the first month or so? It was like Jordan Poole's going to win most improved, like deservedly so. It's like nobody's going to be able to catch him. And then he hit a bit of a rough patch and like all these other guys came on. It looks like it's Ja Morant's to lose. I mean, Vegas has him as an insane favorite, so I guess he's going to win it. But then Jordan Poole is back, I feel like. It's maybe in this conversation at least getting some votes because he is averaging over his last 11 games 26 points per game, 5 assists, and he's shooting 55 from the floor, 50 from three on 9 attempts per game from deep, and 87 at the line. 26 points per game in his last 11. I mean, again, he had an awesome first month or so, and he's ending here on an incredible heater.
And one of the problems early on was the shot selection. Now, again, last night he was hitting some crazy ones, but I think he has understood a little bit more. Don't rush your shot a little bit more. Have a bit more patience. And it's starting to work because he's shooting better percentages. That was one thing I remember Steve Kerr said earlier. It's just like he was getting it and just firing away. Mm-hmm. But now he's like, okay, if you get your feet set and you take your time, you're going to hit a higher percentage. So, yeah, he's going to be huge for them in the playoffs. They're going to need his production off the bench.
You think he's going to come off the bench? He's been awesome as a starter. He's been better than Klay Thompson has been since Klay's come back.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to – they're not going to bring Klay off the bench.
Wiggins then? I mean, best offense is when Steph, Klay, and Jordan Poole are out there and Draymond is passing the ball. So there's one spot left. It could be Wiggins.
Yeah, I don't think Wiggins is coming. I don't think they mess with that. I think they're going to keep him as their...
Just come off the bench, but play a bunch of minutes, which he obviously does, even when he was coming off the bench. Yeah, we'll see.
Some question marks there for sure. And then closing lineups, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, he could finish games for sure.
Let's keep it going here because there's tons more to talk about, guys. We had DeAndre Ayton scoring a career high, 35. Sort of caught me by surprise a little bit, if I'm honest. As the Suns rallied past the Wolves, wild game, that one. And we also had Desmond Bain leading the Grizzlies past the Nets, even though Kyrie scored 43. So those two teams, the Suns and the Grizzlies, monster fourth quarters, Trey. So what was the more impressive one to you, Phoenix or Memphis? What you got?
Both.
Damn.
Both super impressive. Yeah, sucker. Yeah, next Grizzlies was tied with about 8 minutes left. Kyrie and KD both playing incredibly well because it's a road game. There's also no Ja Morant for the Grizzlies, which seems like it should be a disadvantage, but it apparently isn't. And the Grizzlies had already blown a big lead at this point. So you're thinking Brooklyn kind of set up nice for a win here, but not so fast, my friend. Brandon Clark subs into the game, starts making a lot of plays with his activity, his athleticism. And Desmond Bain said he'd heard enough of the Batman talk the past couple of days. Three threes in a minute and 24 seconds. It was quick, decisive, and unexpected. The Grizzlies blowing out the Nets here in the fourth quarter. The Suns and the Wolves was kind of the opposite for me. Minnesota had the lead going into the fourth quarter, but it's really tough to beat the Suns in the fourth quarter. Even if they don't have Chris Paul, they just know how to win. Three players for Phoenix scored in double digits in the fourth quarter. Started with Landry Shamet. I thought he was great. 10 points in the quarter. Kept the Suns connected while Booker was there on the bench. He was hitting from outside. DeAndre Ayton was dominating inside. 11 points for Ayton in the quarter. He had a career-high 35 on the night. And he owned the paint on both ends. I heard today on the Daily Ding that he's made more hook shots than dunks this season.
Wow. Yeah.
How is that possible?
It's wild.
He did do dunks. He did do some dunks in this game, which I thought was cool. The Timberwolves broadcast said he's playing by himself out there, which we'll get to in just a little bit. The last up, though, was Devin Booker, 11 points in the quarter, and he only played 5 minutes. He checked in right away, assist, layup, three-pointer, and then he ended D'Angelo Russell's life with a slam dunk and just got a little taunting technical as a treat there.
You could tell Booker and really the entire Suns team, they were fed up with the Wolves running their mouth all night. Ow. I think. Booker especially is like...
Well, and I mean, they're all buddies, right?
Yeah.
Towns, Booker, and D'Angelo Russell. So, I mean, he was like, I'm going to flex as long as it takes for me to get a technical foul here. So he did. They finally gave it to him, and then he started smiling again. This was awesome. So for me, it was the Suns. They did it on the road. They were playing a hot team, and there was no Chris Paul. Question for you guys. Where was Karl Anthony Towns in the fourth quarter?
Foul trouble, yes.
Why? Why was he in foul trouble? He was guarding Jay Crowder all night.
He got that one flagrant, though, too, when he
popped Shamet.
That was a
tough call, but I mean, he's got to guard DeAndre Ayton.
The
broadcast is like, there's nobody to guard DeAndre Ayton out there. There's a 7-footer out there. That's got to be Towns's matchup. Like, I know it's not his strength, is guarding other big guys, but come on, that's honestly a little bit ridiculous that he can't even try and stick him in the floor.
I feel like there was maybe someone's stat going around on Twitter that Ayton sort of owned Towns early in their matchups in their careers here. I know it's not a ton of games, but I think he's outplayed them.
Yeah, well, Towns was talking the talk the other day, saying, like, we feel we can beat anyone. They've got a tough schedule here. They've they lost to the Mavericks. They've lost here. They got the Mavericks again, maybe without Luka, so that's one there. But these are the sort of moments where playoff games, this is the intensity, and this was a tight game, and Booker came out and basically just sort of took it away from them as well. Though it was close enough. But you could sort of see the Wolves weren't really able to match that level of championship contention that where the Suns are at. Now, the Suns, going into this game, you're wondering what they're playing for right now because they've locked up the first seed. You know, it's one of those games where they don't need to go for it. They're down double digits at the half.
Yeah.
But they really wanted this in the end last night. There was a lot of,
I think
of,
they
like,
got
flexing.
Tired of the shit talking too, man. I seriously do.
Yeah.
There's a part of them like, no. Because I'm with you. I was like, I was the only one. We'll get to our pick. I'm like, I took Minnesota. Mm. Big reason why. Of course, they've been playing well. But it was like, yeah, they got something to play for. Suns, they're fine. They might coast a little bit here. But I think within this game, it was chippy. I mean, I thought the refs were starting to lose control of the game a little bit too. And it just felt like Phoenix like, we've decided we're not going to lose this one tonight.
No.
So, amazing performance.
I think that's Monty Williams saying, listen, just because we've locked it all up, let's not take our foot off the gas here. Let's keep on playing.
Yeah, the end of the second quarter was sort of like the end of the fourth quarter we were talking about earlier this week with the Wolves game lasting forever. It was taking forever. Yeah. But you got to love the way the Suns responded. What are they playing for? They're playing to be champs, man.
Yep.
Devin Booker has just evolved the last couple of years. He went to an NBA Finals, and now he is ready. The way he was talking junk to to the other team's bench, to the Wolves bench. That's something, man. It feels good to be, you know, you've been a Devin Booker for a long time, seeing this growth. He's a killer right now. And Chris Paul, the guy who taught him how to be a killer, he was almost back. There was rumors that he was going to be back in this game. Sam Amick of The Athletic reported that it could have been that game where he showed up. So he's coming soon. He's coming back a lot earlier than expected. You know, it is getting close to you know, the 6-week mark of his injury, so he should be back. But great show there. On the other side, yeah, the Grizzlies, now 15-2 without Ja Morant, beat this Brooklyn Nets team.
They have like the best offense and the best defense when Ja's not playing. Yeah. It's like insane.
Steve Nash said before the game, this team just sort of ran us out the gym the last time we played them. 24 offensive rebounds, that made me sick. And then in the first half, they did something similar. They scored 76 points, and the fast break points, they destroyed them in that category, 27-14. And then the Nets tried to come back, and yeah, they got 78 combined from Irving and Durant. But yeah, they weren't ready to play in this game, unfortunately.
It was a 1-point game with 9 minutes to go, and the Nets didn't score for 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, Jaren Jackson contested 2 Kevin Durant shots that made it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
He stole, or you know, got it out of his hands, and Durant also dribbled off his foot. And he also, Jaren Jackson, blocked a Kyrie Irving shot. Their offense, Desmond Bane was incredible. I thought Jaren Jackson's, like, his athleticism and his switchability and flexibility, it's no one shuts Kevin Durant down, but he's their best guy to at least contest those shots and made life difficult for him, because the turnover was just like the pressure was there and he lost the ball, and then the other one he just like dislodged it out of his hand. Jaren Jackson has been incredible for this team this year. I'm so impressed with him, and he's definitely an all first team NBA defensive player. Could win Defensive Player of the Year. I really think he could.
He's in the running, for sure. These three games we've talked about so far, they just got me hyped for the playoffs. Because there was like a lot, like some intensity, either within their own team in the Miami Heat's case, or obviously the opposition in some of these other ones. It was like, I'm ready. Like, let's go. Let's start the playoffs already. A couple other games, though, to give you a what you got question. And Tass, you can get a start on this one. We have Joel Embiid and the Sixers holding off the LeBron-less Lakers, 126-121. So Philly pulls it out. And then we had Tatum and Brown continuing their hot streak as the Celtics roll once again, 125-97 over the Utah Jazz. So Philly's 45-27, Boston's 46-28. They're basically in a virtual tie there, I believe, with Milwaukee still for second place as they try and chase down Miami, the number one seed. So it's a tough question, but who is more likely to finish higher in the East from these two games last night? Is it the Sixers or is it the Celtics, who just can't seem to lose right now?
I think it's the Sixers. Their schedule's easier, and I know it's probably the unsexy answer, but I think that helps them. And the Celtics do have a bit of a tough sked. The Celtics' story is incredible. They were the 11th seed in January. Now they're fighting for the top seed. Yeah, so an absolute blast to watch. I'll jump in on that game there. Celtics-Jazz. I think the Jazz are the team that people should want to face in the postseason. They don't want to fight back. They really don't. They got down early in this game. They did not respond whatsoever, and it's not just a one-time thing. It's become a bit of a habit with them. It's a pattern throughout this season. Yeah, they were down 32 yesterday. The Celtics were playing great, but the Jazz are 4-22 in games when they trail by double digits. They don't fight back. Only teams with a worse record in those scenarios are all lottery teams, and that's John Schumann with a great stat there. So if you're in the West playoffs, they're now tied for the fourth seed. With the Dallas Mavericks after that loss. It's a virtual lock right there. You want to play them, undoubtedly. And what happened in this game is the Celtics were so good defensively, they can switch, and the Jazz just don't have the creativity or the big man to punish any switchability. And so if they get into a situation with the Mavs, who can switch, that would be the series right now in the West, the 4-5. That's bad news.
Sounds
it's bad
like
news
would be
for the
taking
Jazz.
Dallas.
I would. Because the prototype is there. Switch on him. Put a little guy on Gobert. He's not going to punish you. And they don't have enough ball handling on the outside. They had more turnovers than assists in this game. I know the Celtics are an incredible defense, but that's wild. That's wild. The Jazz should be getting it together, and you do have to be playing somewhat well going to the playoffs. You can't just flip a switch. And I know Donovan's going to flip a switch and play pretty good offensively. But there's the template. Switch on them; they're not going to make you pay.
Yeah, back to the question there, though, Trey, the East. Do you agree with Tass that Philly might still pull out the number two seed here, or is it more likely you think Boston, having won 23 of 27 games now?
The schedule certainly favors Philadelphia, but man, the Celtics are just on fire right now. 26 for Brown, 26 for Tatum. I think they had 30 and 30 apiece in the last game.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown called out Jason Tatum, said he's trying to copy me. He sees the celebrations that I do in practice, and then he does them during the game. So, I don't know. This is a team that not only were they bad in the first half of the season, they also had very bad vibes, and the vibes have completely switched. And Jaylen Brown was explaining it in terms of astrology last night. So, I don't know. They seem to have found something. They seem to have manifested their destiny at this point. So, the Celtics are playing too well right now, whereas the Sixers, I'm just not totally convinced you're going to get a great effort every single night between Harden and Embiid. They were both good last night. I think Embiid will probably start resting a little bit down the stretch here as we get closer and closer to the playoff time, because they want him as fresh as he can possibly be. Whereas the Celtics, it feels like they don't want to mess with anything right now, because they found the perfect rhythm, the perfect identity.
They want the playoffs to start right now, Boston, because the ball last night in the first quarter, they were just flinging it around. Like, doesn't matter what we do, it's going to come off.
I had people tweeting me, is Marcus Smart going to break Scott Skiles' assist record tonight? I think he had nine, like, quick ones.
But that's the thing. Finish the ball 13. Just, like, doesn't stop moving. And the Jazz are known to be a good defensive team. They were down 23 in the first half at halftime here. So I think it's Boston just because of the way they're playing. And I also think the Sixers, a little harder to believe that they're going to give it everything down the stretch here, because maybe they do want to avoid one of those teams at the bottom.
Right, right. You may not want to.
But honestly, Boston right now, it's just like, we're just playing at such a high level. I think they get there. I mean, they're all Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, also all only a game and a half back of Miami.
Yeah.
So one of them could take the number one spot easily.
Sure.
I just think Boston's playing the best out of anyone right now.
On January 21st, the Celtics lost to the Blazers. They were 23-24, and it was around that time Tass was telling us here in the Classic Factory, they're the perfect 500 team, because they kept going up one game, then they fell back to 500, go down one game in this case, come back. But since then, sort of late January, like basically, 2 months ago at this point, like I said, they've won 23 of 27 games, and eight of those victories by 25 or more points. The last team Lee to be on this type of like run, like dominant run where you're just hammering squads, was the 15-16 San Antonio Spurs.
Huh.
That team won 67 games.
Yeah.
Now, I think that team struggled in the playoffs, actually. Yeah, they went out in the second round, if I remember correctly.
15-16. Yeah.
They didn't go to the final. I know that. So, but yeah, that's how elite they are. That's how Boston is playing like a 65-win team right now. And yeah, Smart as the playmaker. Obviously, you're two guys that can score in Tatum and Brown. And then Robert Williams, I mean, last night, 4 blocks, 2 steals. That's becoming normal. And Horford is 3 blocks as well. It's just this elite defense with those two guys as your scorers for the most part. And the ball moving. I'm with you. If I'm picking between these two teams to answer this, what you got, I think I'm going Boston. Mm-hmm. I just don't see why this would slow down, even if they do play better teams. I mean, they have been playing better teams Philly's over the last little bit. They're destroying them.
I think Philly's got 6 of their last 10 on the road, too, against Phoenix. Yeah. So they've got a little bit of a tougher schedule, I think, in terms of travel and stuff. But we'll see.
All right, let's take our first break. That's what you got. But we'll get to some of the other games last night. We'll take a look at the play-in teams and who lost and who won last night. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, you know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back with the boys in the Classic Factory here on a Thursday. Some other games to touch on, and we'll look at the play-in teams as well. But let's start with the Luka-less Mavs pulling away. They beat the last-place Rockets 110-91. So no Luka, but Dinwiddie, another great game. Jalen Brunson, awesome. He scored 16 in the third. Mavs took control there in the second half. They outscored Houston 58-38 overall in that second frame. Brunson, without Luka this season, is averaging basically 20-8 if you want to round up, shooting 49-35-80 from the three spots, field goal, three and at the line. And the Mavs are 5-1 in their last six games with Brunson and without Luka. Shout out to StatMuse for that one. This guy's going to get paid. I love Jalen Brunson. I do. And I know there was reports in January, what, like he and his camp is seeking like 4 for 80?
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. That would be a deal. I mean, the way he's playing, and if he has a great playoff run in him or two, series or two, it could go up, which sounds a little insane, but he's easily worth that. The Knicks, of course, should want him. I think the Mavs are desperately going to want to try and keep him. But he just continues to impress me lately.
Yeah, there's something weird about his contract. I can't remember exactly what it is, that the Mavs can only offer him a certain amount, I believe, because he's on a 4-year, $6 million deal right now.
Second rounder.
Yeah. So, but the Mavericks, of course, there was rumors that maybe they'll trade him because they couldn't afford to pay him or whatever, but they will give him as much as they can. He's very, very important to what they do, whether he's a starter or coming off the bench. I know he started last night, and he tends to start with Dinwiddie coming off the bench, but things are just going incredibly well. We talk about the Celtics. The Mavericks are the Celtics of the East right now, just playing really, really well. Last night, they were leading early, and it was like the Rockets made them just work in that third quarter just to put it away. But every win is important to them right now, and that was a pretty impressive one.
That victory pulls Dallas even with Utah. We showed you the playoff picture there, 45-28 for the fourth seed. But right now, the Jazz currently hold the tiebreaker, though they play on Sunday. So I can't wait for Monday's show when we get to talk about that game. That's a big game there between Dallas and Utah, and who look like they're destined to play each other, like you were talking about, Tess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they want to.
Yeah.
The Luka versus Rudy, that's going to be good. It's going to be chatty. It's going to be physical. Rudy's going to want to take that on as well because that's where he thrives. He thrives on that end. I don't like just ripping on him about the offensive end, excuse me. But that's where the Jazz lose games to me. The defensive end, they'll be fine. But the offensive end, I think the Mavs are playing way too well to even be threatened by this Jazz team.
And those two teams, like, if they were to match up in a 4 or 5, like, they desperately need to get out of the first round. You know, Luka hasn't done that yet with Dallas and the team they're putting together there. And obviously the Jazz have plans to go further than one round. But you sort of have to at some point with this core of Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. You have to make decisions that you probably don't really want to make. So, yeah, that'll be awesome if it stays like that. Anything to add to Brunson and the Mavs' victory? I mean, it's over the Rockets, I know, but they are playing well, like Lee said.
Wait, who's playing well?
Excuse me, the Mavs.
Oh, okay, good. I was like, ooh. I was just looking at the Rockets' incredible string of losses in their past 22 games, 3-19 in their last 22. Some clutch tanking. The Knicks should pay Jalen Brunson a max contract, I kind of think.
Preach!
They just need a point guard, honestly.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Is this still true that if he's a second round draft pick, that the Mavs don't have restricted free agency matching rights? So I would make it too expensive for him.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find about it now. because of his contract right now, the maximum they can offer is an extension of 120% on the estimated average NBA salary. So it's a bit geeky, but they can't just throw the book at him like they might.
Look
do
at Andy sure. Ellisberg over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Andy Ellisberg.
Well, I know because it's been sort of talked about a lot this season. Something weird. It's,
yeah.
They will have to fend off suitors because I think others can throw a big bag at him.
Did you agree with Trey? Like, the Knicks should be very aggressive.
Big bag Brunson.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Jalen Brunson would fit on almost every time. I can't see a bad fit out there because he's a very, very good role player.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah. I mean, he's been compared, we've done it before, like to Van Vliet and stuff like that. Like, I see a lot of similarities, just like this steady Freddy in his case, but that's Brunson's like that too, man. Guy, like last night, I know, again, he's playing the Rockets, so it's like sort of who cares, but he's attacking, hit that little floater, obviously can shoot, like we said, with those numbers when Luka's not there and he gets even more opportunity. Pretty special stuff. All right, let's keep it going here because we don't need to go long on Mavs over the Rockets, though. So, you are right. I mean, do you have Tankathon up in front of you? It's got the Magic loss last
right
night.
Now,
the Thunder won. So it's,
Magic have been a little bit too good lately.
Pistons won. I mean,
So Houston's in the lead right now.
Yeah, okay.
Houston, Orlando, Detroit, Oklahoma City, Indiana are our top five. I'll give you a quick sim right here.
Okay,
see what
sim it up.
Boop, boop, boop. What do you think?
I'm looking at your screen.
big reaction.
I mean, Rockets.
Detroit Pistons, back to back. Cade and Chet.
Oh, yeah.
CC.
A
lot of CCs on that engine.
Ooh, I simmed and I got Indiana 1. Detroit dropped a 6 on my simmer.
Man, I almost want to fire it up now.
Yeah,
let's look at the East play-in teams because we had some weird results last night. Remember when we buried the Knicks and said it was over? Well, maybe it's not over. Okay, RJ Barrett and the Knicks, they beat Charlotte last night, 121-106, so they snapped the Hornets' 5-game win streak. Obviously, the Nets lost last night to the Grizzlies, as we talked about. And then Grant and Cade Cunningham, they lead the Pistons to the rare dominant win over the Hawks. What is wrong with the Atlanta Hawks, man? So, we're showing you the race here, if you want to call it that, for the East play-in. I included Brooklyn because they're only a game up on Charlotte, which is amazing. And I know we'll get to the Kyrie news here in a second. But, yeah, Trey, what do you think of this shaking down? Are the Knicks still alive? Are they the Undertaker here?
Shout out to math. The Knicks are alive. It was a must-win game for the Knicks, and they pulled it out. They're still at least competing and playing hard right now, so that's good for them. And RJ Barrett's been pretty good, especially with Julius Randle. He was not playing last night. That's better for RJ Barrett. His second straight 30-point game, third time in his last five that he's gone for 30 or more. You can just see not having Julius Randle there pounding the ball and taking up space in the lane really helps him. 5 makes at the rim, 8 free throw attempts for Barrett. He hit some threes as well. He's probably a second scorer for a good team. That's probably his ceiling to me, but he's doing all right here as a number one guy. The Knicks also hit 20 threes in this one, including 4 from Evan Fournier.
Yeah.
Who's now the all-time Knicks leader in single-season threes.
That's the weirdest stat. He tweeted about it last night. I'm not a statsman.
Cool.
I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does Melo not hold that? At least Melo. I mean,
crazy. Melo didn't want to shoot threes when he was a Knick.
The amount of shots he took, though, just felt like, you know, Fournier's just come in. It feels like Fournier barely even plays sometimes, but...
Who did he eclipse?
Starks.
Johnny holding on to that.
That's a good point. That's a long time for him to hold that record. But tough loss for the Hornets. They could have tied the Nets for 8th last night with Brooklyn losing, but they also just won 5 straight. So it's like, you know, it's the Hornets. 5 straight, 5-1. That's an incredible 6-game stretch for them. As for the Hawks, it was the second game of a back-to-back. It was their third game in 4 nights. Yeah, it was their 4th and 6th nights.
True.
Those are good excuses for losing to a team you should still beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm more disappointed because the Hawks, I want them to have at least one playoff game, play-in playoff, so we get down to the fortress. It was awesome last season, but right now they won't.
Yeah,
they won't get one. They won't, and that was a perfect chance to at least tie the Hornets. Now the Hornets, I believe, have the tiebreaker based on their division standings because it was 2-2 during the season.
Yep,
so
the
Hornets slightly ahead of them, but. Ah, man, if the Hawks don't get one playoff game, it's going to be...
They got a play-in game. It's going to be tough.
No, I mean
it's going to be tough for
but
them
it
to
might
get
not be a home.
I mean, I mean at the fortress.
It's not looking like it's going to be a home.
No, they won't.
They're right there.
Unless they beat the Hornets and then beat the Raptors.
Charlotte's like a 4-hour drive or something, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to the Eastern Conference 9-10 game no matter what.
Yeah.
There you go.
The Hawks have lost to the Pistons twice this month. Also, the Pelicans, at least they're playing for something, and the Hornets. You got to beat the teams you're going to beat.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Sadiq Bey. Last night, he became the all-time single-season three-point record yeah. holder for the Pistons.
Yeah.
Who'd he beat, Lee? He's got one of the most beautiful jumpers
right.
in
yeah.
the game. Allen
yeah.
Houston. That would have been a young Allen Houston.
Yeah, 93, 94, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Cool.
Back to the Nets. There's some big news, obviously, surrounding this team. New York Mayor Eric Adams will lift the city's COVID-19 vaccine mandate on athletes, I guess entertainers, today, paving the way to ask for Kyrie to play at the Barclays Center on Sunday. And also, if you're into baseball, the Yankees and Mets can play.
Yeah, interesting timing. Yeah, Aaron Judge's status up in the air. Aaron Judge may have swing for the fences. I think that could be a part of it. Anyways, the only place he can't play, Toronto.
Yeah.
Still can't play there. That would be the 7-8 matchup. He would have to go to Toronto and watch his team, I guess.
Would he even be able to control? No.
I guess not.
Yeah.
He'll watch.
Yeah.
It looks like we will see Kyrie at home this weekend.
They're only 8-12 in the games Kyrie's played. It feels like they've got a better record than that. Because one of the things we talked about is, like, even though they're the Nets with Kevin Durant, can they still go all the way? But their record hasn't been that good. And you saw last night, every game, every series is going to have to be won on the road. It's going to be a grind. So he obviously makes them better. They'd rather have him out there.
Sure.
But it's not like it's just a straight line here for the Nets. It's still got plenty of work to do. But also one thing, Kyrie Irving's got 4 nicknames on Basketball Reference. Did you know all of these? They're pretty gettable.
Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew, yeah.
Kai, like...
Kai is one, yeah.
The bus driver?
Yeah, Steve Smith, the cartwheel instructor. No.
There's like a wrestling type of moniker that he has there. There's a wrestler, famous wrestler, who wore a hat. big trench
Chiefs?
Coat.
The Undertaker?
Yeah, but he's the ankle
taker.
Oh,
yes.
But then there's one I haven't heard. It's pretty funny. It's in reference to one of the claims he's made
in the past.
World be flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I don't know if it's a nickname other than it's more just like mocking him, really, isn't it? Like,
can you imagine somebody in the press conference? Yeah, hey, world be flat. Just wanted to get your take on the game last night. Like, what would he even say? What would he do?
Yeah.
All right, let's just quickly look at the West play-in sort of games last night. We had DeJounte Murray. He had 28 points as the Spurs destroyed the Blazers 133-96. So San Antonio, they're still alive. They're a game and a half back of the Pelicans to get into the play-in, as we show this to everybody. And then we also had Damian Jones. He had a last-second tip to lift the Kings over the Pacers 110-109, though I feel like we sort of wrote off Sacramento a while ago. They're sort of like the Knicks.
Mathematically,
they're still alive, though, Tass. But, what do you think here?
Yeah, last night I had a difficult decision as I was watching Kings Pacers. You know, two teams that are not making the postseason.
Right.
Is this the time of year where you stop watching the teams that aren't making the postseason? Because I was watching it down the stretch. Yeah, you got Damian Jones fighting for his job in the NBA. I guess that's what is happening here the last few weeks of the season. Guys who are on the sort of the outskirts. Am I that much of a hardcore? Am I going to be watching Kings Pacers? Yeah, I watched the end of it. That's fine.
That's all you need to watch.
Oh, God, yes. That's all you need to watch. Absolutely. Yeah, the Kings are not making it. Spurs also playing against Chris Dunn was starting for the Portland Trailblazers at point guard. Flashback. Yeah, former Hawk, former Bull, obviously. Former Wolf.
Yeah.
He's on a 10-day with the Blazers because Simons is hurt. Those were the most exciting things I got from those two basketball games.
Sure. Lee, what about you?
Well, the Pelicans. Probably a better dunk from Zion Williamson a day after we saw the legs, in between the legs. If you guys saw that, he was going up against Corey Brewer, who is an assistant coach with the Pelicans.
I didn't see this clip.
It was a one-on-one move where he dunked on Corey Brewer's ass.
This is like the new Ben Simmons is shooting around in a gym video? It's like, oh, look at the hops on this.
The Athletic had it. What a frickin' tease. If he just, he's going to be the dunk guy. He's going to be the dunk guy for the last couple weeks. Because I assume he's not coming back, but it sure looks like he could come back.
I don't know.
This is hard.
Hey, people have wanted updates all year from the Pelicans.
Yeah.
And the question has been, how come Zion is so silent here? And also, how come he's not playing basketball against anybody? And also, how come he's not with the team? So now he's with the team. He's playing. And he's actually able to play one-on-one. I think it's actually good for the Pelicans. But man, what a difference in boosts between Zion Williamson and Corey Brewer. That's crazy. Like, you put them both together, it's like one average sized man.
Do you have any thoughts on those asses or the West Bay?
Well, the Kings won the trade, obviously, with the Pacers in this. But speaking of dunks, Metu had a big dunk a couple of nights ago, it was, against someone. But listen, I say that because honestly, the Kings have fallen off the radar for me. They just haven't been competitive enough this season at all. So last night we had some great games going. I'm not wasting my time watching Kings and Pacers.
That shot at Tasman?
That was early. It was early and it was came down to the wire.
Got the little update, close game. Yeah, you try.
And I was also watching Survivor. I don't know how I squeezed it in. But
for you.
We were playing ball myself.
I wanted to get a quick update before we take a break. You two were out running last night. How'd you do?
We started off teammates, got a nice W.
You guys.
And then we had a really nice couple of passes, actually. I was feeding.
What, flashy or very solid?
Both.
Oh, wow. Good.
It was a solid pass. And then Trey was finishing up reverse layup.
That's true.
He's like, world be flat out there.
And then Trey's team beat my team. I was out. And then we were opponents. And we had one of the worst games of pickup basketball you ever see. It just would not end this game.
Oh, jumpers weren't falling.
Oh, my. It was like, I mean, we played at 8 by twos and by ones and twos.
Oh, my God.
And we must have played for 45 minutes.
Oh, one game?
I'm probably exaggerating, but it was probably like 25 minutes. Yeah. It was 7-3. For the longest time. I had my greatest rebounding night ever.
There's a lot to go around.
33 boards. And I told Lee, I was like, that means there's just been a lot of misses. And there were.
I think I had 5 game-winning attempts. I missed them all. And you know, like, I'm trying to get other guys involved as well. And I was like, all right, it's my turn. Nah. I don't even remember how we won in the end. It must have been a sloppy turnover and someone just eventually laid it up.
Yeah, well, layup.
Great fun, though. Always great fun.
Who's the MVP of last night? Not between you two, but anyone in the run.
Who had the sweatpants on? Tall guy?
Oh, Dominique.
He's
actually a very good player. We found out recently he played overseas for 3 years. I didn't feel quite as bad that he busted my ass last week.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point he drove baseline and threw down a slam dunk. And then he broke another guy's ankle. Oh. So I was like, and he was doing it all in pants. Yeah. That was the worst.
Yeah. Only thing worse is if he had a hat on.
He's what, 6'3", 6'4"?
He's taller than me.
Is he?
Yeah. I'm like, he's like the LeBron of the pickup.
Oh,
right now. The levels have gone up this year, Skeets. I don't know why, but it's good.
I've missed the last couple.
I took an old man's foul on one of his drives, too. He beat me off the dribble. And I think it was close to sort of the game deciding basket. So I just reached in. Raise the hand.
That
one's on me. Yeah. Yeah, he did raise the hand. Yeah, that's fine. That one's on me.
No easy baskets.
That's good. Get a fight out there. Okay, let's take our final break. When we come back, tweet of the night and pick 'em results. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, it's about that time of the show for a little tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Trey, you have the honors.
Oh, I've got the honors, and I've got a delicious tweet for you here. Comes to us from NBC Sports Boston. A cute moment in that Celtics game last night. Marcus Smart is inbounding the ball on the side of the court, and Jason Tatum's son, Deuce, comes up, smacks him in the boots during the inbounds. Very cute, very cute. This is awesome. Post-game, Marcus Smart said he felt Deuce trying to smack him, quote, Marcus, Me and Deuce got a love-hate relationship. He said that about a child. I was actually expecting it. Deuce is trying to attack me anytime. So I guess he just knew. This, you know, if Deuce and Marcus Smart get near each other, it's on sight for Deuce. They're throwing down. It's very funny.
Surprise Marcus didn't flop.
Yeah. Falls over. Oh,
draw the
foul. Great moment there. Fun tweet of the night.
Deuce.
Pick'em results from last night. It was the Suns-Wolves game. I was the only one to take Minnesota. I was feeling good for a couple of quarters. I was like, yep, called it. They're playing for playing for something a little bit more than the Phoenix Suns are. But no, Phoenix said, came back huge, as we talked about earlier in the show. They get the win. This brought to you by BetMGM. So that's an L for me. I'm 9-8. Tass and Trey go to 10-7. And Lee right behind me, two games behind me, at 7-10. You gained a game. So that's big.
Mm.
So five on tonight, Tass. Where are we picking
five from? On, yeah. The one on NBA TV. Also, the Phoenix Suns featured in that game. They're visiting the Nuggets. Kind of a surprising line to me. 3.5 points the Nuggets are favored by at home to Phoenix, who is obviously on a back-to-back, but the Nuggets desperately want to hang on to that sixth seed in the Western Conference. They want to stay in the actual playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
So, Lee, the only one on the Suns. Skeets, myself and Trey on the Nuggets. I assume, Skeets, you're taking the Nuggets because they have something to play for.
I mean,
for.
That's why I'm worried now. But, yeah, the back-to-back, I guess, situation. I thought the line was strange, too. I did. Yeah. 3.5 for Denver. So
chunky.
Yeah. That leaned me towards them. Let's,
if they rest players, which they could very well, second night of a back-to-back. But they've won six in a row, and they could win their 60th game tonight. So I'm hoping that's the sort of Monty's like, let's go for it,
well,
guys.
They're just such a machine, too. Yeah. Like, even if they rest a guy or two, it's like, they can still win.
Yeah. No, of course they could. I just, you know, you can just sort of see it like books, hits, bridges, maybe. But Ayton's on a tear. Maybe they just want to keep going. Let's hope so.
Yeah. So, okay, you're two games back. If you gain another one, that would be big as we get into the final week of March, which is next week. But three of us on Denver, Lili on the Suns. Okay, let's call it there, guys. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunks Inc. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. $1 a month for up to 6 months right now. Sweet deal. Take advantage. And if you're a Survivor fan and you watched last night's episode of Survivor, which was amazing, a lot of fun, well, join us tonight again over on the No Bus YouTube feed, or you can listen to the podcast later wherever you listen to podcasts by searching for No Buffs. Rick Devins from Edge of Extinction is going to join us on tonight's show to talk about the episode. And if you have a question for Rick, you know, tweet at us. Let us know at No Dunks Inc. And we'll try and ask Rick that question. Should be a fun one. We got a great episode, Trey and JD, to talk about and dissect with him.
Ooh, that was a good one. A dramatic challenge, dramatic tribal council. Spicy.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So No Buffs with Rick Devins later tonight, again, around 7 p.m. Eastern, a little bit later than normal. Otherwise, you hoopheads will be back here tomorrow for the Drop Podcast live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I learned this from Survivor last night. Be careful in the water. They even had to call the challenge there because the water, the waves, just taking people under.
Water is scary powerful.
Absolutely. It's good to remember.
Brace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.